We're going to sing hallelujah by and by. That depends on where you go. Because there are two places in eternity that humans can go and will go based upon how we have lived our lives on planet Earth. We're delighted that the Father has watched over us, cared for us, and blessed us with the presence of mind to come together that we might worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's why we have come together. That's why we have come together. We want to all of us, self included, be mindful of the fact that we have come together to worship God in spirit and in truth. There is coming a time when time will no longer exist. That's in eternity. That means that we have stood before God and given an accounting of the life that we lived on planet Earth. But He has a book already on each and every one of us and everyone who has ever lived. And each of us, our book will be open at the judgment. Recording every day of our life. You want to make sure that what's in your book, put there by God, based upon what we did while we lived on earth, is favorable to the judge. And He is the judge. So let us endeavor to make our calling and election sure. We've had a great last week, and we thank God for it. We thank God for His servant who come and worked so diligently and so clearly expounded the Word of God. We are most blessed to have been a part of those services and to hear those messages from God's holy book, the Bible. This morning I want to call your attention to the book of Revelation. Revelation, and the chapter is 21. Revelation chapter 21. That's the last book of the Bible, in case you're flipping pages. Let's just read some this morning. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. I'm in verse 1. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall do what? Wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. I know we love that, don't we? And that, providing we hear the Lord say, well done. If you go to that other place, that's not so wonderful. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. This is repeat. And neither shall there be any more crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things brand new. Ain't that good news? Jump down to verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Descending out of heaven from God. Isn't that amazing? Looking forward to the new time. Oh, and it talks about the great wall that was there. Verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, the murderers and whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in what? The lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. That's not a happy ending. Knowing this information ahead of time should certainly be motivation to every sound thinking human being to put forth every endeavor to know the will of God and do the selfsame thing. To know the will of God by checking it out yourself and doing the will of God, because we're talking about something here forever. Familiar title to you, Heaven Must Be Nice. Heaven must be nice. There is but one step between us and eternity. Death, decay, and passing away is written upon the wings of time and timely things. It is critically important that we as human beings learn something about our future, especially in times like these, when you have people who buy guns just to shoot and kill folk who they don't even know. The Bible teaches that God is a real person. He is the eternal, self-existent, visualizing force of our universe. He is a personality who has created and who intelligently directs everything. God is real. God is a self-existent being. There is no such thing with God as dying. He is not simply the personification of life. He is life. Just like the son, the devil is the very devil himself. Now is the time. While we're living on planet Earth and prayerfully in our sound mind, to check the Bible. Take time to study the Word of God so that you won't have to take other folks' word. You will know for yourself what God's mandate is for every human being that wants to come and live with Him after we die. It's once appointed unto man to die, and after this, the judgment. Not only does the Bible teach these things, it also teaches that heaven is a real, literal place. Heaven is just as real as any city on earth but by far superior. No more sickness in heaven, no more dying, no more pain, no more heartache. Jesus says about heaven in John chapter 14, are you there? John chapter 14 and verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Then Jesus says, I go to prepare a place. I go to prepare. Don't dwell on what you might be thinking. And I think you might know what I think you're thinking. That's a lot of thinking, isn't it? My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place. Listen to his words. I go to do what? To prepare a place. I go to prepare a place. What's the last two words? Are we going to disappoint Jesus? I'm going to prepare a place for you. You may not be comfortable where you live now, but Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. A prepared place by God and his Son just for those who hear, believe, receive, and obey his word on planet Earth. Lord, help us. How much lovelier that prepared place for his prepared people as a reward for their righteous living on earth. That's the only requirement. Just do the will of God. Obey God. Did not our parents teach us to do that? To obey? And when we didn't obey our parents, they had a different way of speaking to us? We didn't much like that way. How much lovelier that prepared place for his prepared people as a reward for just doing the right thing. God blesses us just for doing the right thing and doing that which is beneficial for us. It's always good for yourself to do the right thing that pleases God. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But who? But he that doeth. Not he that do, but he that continues to do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Those individuals who heard his voice from afar, he is going to bring them near, and we shall dwell together and worship God together after obeying his word. Oh, what joy. John chapter 14 and verse 3. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will do what? Come again. Not just come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be. Where I am. Listen to this. Jesus says, where I am, you may also be there. Jesus is already there. All these centuries, he's happy there. So it has to be a gracious, glorious, grand place where Jesus is already. Twice Jesus refers to heaven as a place. Countless millions of Christians have learned not to let their hearts be troubled by the trials, by the storms of life on planet Earth. The question comes now, are you one of those people? You may already be tired of church. Tired of worship already. So you might not be happy in heaven. You don't have to go to heaven. That's your choice. But I want to encourage you to look ahead to the two places that's available to humanity. And one place you don't have to do anything to get there.
Just do nothing, and God will make sure that you get there. We cannot see with telescopes where it is, but with the eye of faith, we know that that city is there, and we know that the other city that God has is there. When Jesus returned home after spending 33 years on planet Earth, David wrote regarding his return. Psalm 24. David pictures Christ nearing the celestial city. Angels came out to meet him, singing, "Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be you lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Back in heaven, back in heaven, back in heaven, a mighty angelic chorus responded and began to sing, "He is the King of glory." So then, we see that Jesus returned to a real place. And he gives a picture of this great city of heaven in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. But that you can take your pleasure and read it at your leisure. What shall we be like? What shall we be like in eternity? Moses, faithful servant of God, he died and was buried by the angels of God. Deuteronomy 34, verses 5 and 6. But note, Matthew chapter 16 or chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, because it's after Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." In Matthew chapter 17, the rich man recognized Abraham, but in Matthew chapter 7, Moses appeared with Jesus after all those years of being dead. He appeared with Jesus on Mount Sinai. We do not know what we will look like, but left up to us, we would probably say, "Boy, I'm going to be something else." Why? Because we think we're something else already. You don't hear me. We don't know what we will look like, but what we do know, we will have glorified bodies. Glorified bodies which are eternal. No more sickness. No more death. No more dying. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Isn't that good news? No more aches, no more back pains, no more limping, no more sickness. We shall be like him. It's going to be better than being on earth. And it's going to, pardon my colloquial expression, it's going to be sure enough better than being in hell. In heaven, we shall see and we shall be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We will be through with all sinners. We will rest from our labors. We sing the song, "No disappointment in heaven, no weariness of pain, no hearts bleeding, no hearts broken, never a tear in heaven." Does it sound like a place you might like to go? We'll never pay rent. You say, getting better and better. We will have mansions. Jesus says, "I go to prepare for you a mansion." Taxes will never come due. Our garments will never grow old. We will never be hungry. We will never be thirsty. No funeral trains. No graves on the hillsides of glory. But we shall never die. The old will be young forever. In heaven, immortal will stand in his likeness, outshining the stars and the sun. Today, there will never be a day like today. Today, if you're faithful, if you're a child of God, if you've been added to the Church of Christ, and I stress Church of Christ because that's the only church that I read about in the Bible. Now, why would you go into glory and not be in the Church of Christ that Jesus established through the preaching of his apostles and the power of the Holy Spirit, and believe that he's going to take you into glory? And you were a part of something that heaven never said anything about to the apostles. But if you're bound for the beautiful city that my Lord has prepared, you will be able to sing and glorify God around the white throne. Somebody said there's a song that says, I grow home sick for heaven, and the glories I there shall behold. What a joy it will be when my Savior I see in that beautiful city of gold. This is the joy that is set before you, me, and us as a result of obeying the gospel that we read about, that the apostles preached. And they only preached one gospel. They only established one church. One church, wherever they went. Not many churches, one church. Not many different churches, just one church. This is the joy that is set before us. And this is also the joy that is set before you particularly. If you're not a part of the church that was established by the apostles preaching on the day of Pentecost. From Acts chapter 2 to the end of the Bible, all 12 apostles preached the same gospel, planted the same seeds, and established the same church. Now, who changed it? It wasn't the apostles. And Jesus, the Bible says that the apostles were guided into all truth from glory. The pleasures of sin are enjoyed here on earth. But it won't be that way at the judgment. Are you bound? The question comes, simple one. Are you bound for that beautiful city? If not, let me share just a moment, just a few minutes, how you can be ready for that beautiful city. There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We are talking to you about that one faith. Believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Be godly sorrowful for the sins that you've committed. It's called repentance. And be willing to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then to be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin that you have ever committed. You say, well, preacher, I never heard about that, just one church and all of that. You know what you're saying? You know what else you're saying that you may not be saying? You're saying that I don't study my Bible. Because if you'd study your Bible, what somebody else wouldn't have to tell you. It would be good if they did tell you, but they wouldn't have to tell you. The apostles, the 12 apostles, Judas was replaced by Matthias. They went everywhere preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. by the power of the Holy Spirit. And everywhere they went, they preached the same gospel, established the same church. The Bible strictly says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, Ephesians chapter 4. Where do you stand? Make your calling. Make your calling and election sure. Because at the judgment, when you get the information that that's not my church, there is no changing at the judgment. Our opportunity for making the right choice is why we live and breathe on planet Earth. We say, yeah, that's it. Well, I'll right back to you. That's it. Are you ready to go to heaven? Or are you ready to continue to follow what I've been doing? I don't see how I could be. Well, what do you mean you don't see how you could be? If you don't see it in the Bible, why do you think God had it written? Why do you think that he has blessed you to be able to have a Bible or to know what's in the Bible, whether you've studied it or not? Make your calling and election sure. How do I do it, preacher? You've heard the gospel. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. The apostle preached the first sermon on planet Earth in your Bible in Acts chapter 2. All of the apostles began to preach as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. That's in your Bible in Acts chapter 2. In verse 15 of Acts chapter 2, Peter became the central speaker. From verse 15 to verse 36, Peter was a central speaker. In verse 36, he said something that that astonished them. Verse 37, Peter says, "This is the same Jesus who we're preaching about today." Peter says, "This is the same Jesus that you all crucified 50 days ago. Your grandparents, your great grandparents, and you all were looking for the coming of the Savior. He came, and it was He that you all put Him on the cross 50 days ago." When that motley crowd who was gathered in Jerusalem on that day, because it was a high Jewish holiday, thousands of people were in Jerusalem, they interrupted Peter. He was preaching until he said that. That was Jesus that you were looking for. You know, it would be wonderful today if when folk heard the truth, they would even interrupt the preacher. Says, "What must we do? I haven't read about my church in the Bible. What I did to be saved, I haven't read about it in the Bible, but my preacher told me to do it and I did it." Wouldn't it be wonderful if folk were that honest? That crowd was. They interrupted Peter and says, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter says, "Repent, be godly sorrowful for the sins that you've committed, and be baptized for the remission or for the forgiveness of your sins, and God will send you, after you are baptized, His Holy Spirit to dwell in your heart." And there were some honest people in that crowd that day, crowd of thousands. Then they that gladly received His word, not getting angry, gladly received His word, were baptized. And the same day, they didn't say, "I'm going back and ask whoever taught me what they had been taught." When they were taught the truth, the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That day. And they continued, after they were baptized, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? You followed me prayerfully. You stayed awake prayerfully. You read behind me prayerfully. God has blessed you to live long enough to hear this gospel. And I hope and pray that you listen earnestly and sincerely, and that you really want to please God, because you know He's the one that makes the decision as who goes and who this way and who goes that way. So what do you tell God if you go before Him at the final judgment and you're not in the church that His Son established? through the apostles' preaching in Acts chapter 2. How do you even imagine that God is going to let you come to his heaven where you are not a member of his son's church on planet Earth? Now you want me to let you want to have me to let you live in with us throughout eternity, and you never became one who supported the church that my son died for. You make the decision. And we pray, God, that you will make a decision that pleases God. First and foremost, pleases God. Well, I got to go check with somebody. No. You check with God. Everybody else is has no significance when it comes to what must I obey God or must I obey some human being. It's decision time. The water's ready. The garments are ready. The baptizer's ready. The only question mark is whether or not you are ready to make your calling and election sure. Why do you preach that way, preacher? Because I want it on my record that as a gospel preacher, I preach his gospel without addition or subtraction. Are you in the body? Are you already in the church of Christ? Are you faithful in the church of Christ? Do you have time to encourage your brothers and sisters? Or are you too busy? Well, I can see you for a few minutes on Sunday morning, but I tell you, I have some other things to do on the weekend, and that's the only time I can get to do them. If God calls you from labor to reward on Sunday morning, you're not going to tell him you got some things to do. You're going to obey his word. God put us first, human beings. You think he requires less of us to have his son to go through such terrible, terrible pain, crucified on a cross? And if you're in the body, if you're in the body, let me encourage you, already in the Church of Christ, please study your Bible so that you will be faithful in the way you live your life. And you will know what God will accept and what he won't accept. Don't make your own decisions before you check with the Lord. Why are you preaching like that, preacher? Doing the best I can with what I have, but I want to please him. My goal is to please the Lord and leave the consequences to him, whatever they might be, for me. Make a decision. Are you an encourager? The lesson is yours. Let us together stand. Hear, believe, repent, confess. This is now your time. Your time. Get it right with God.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Sing and all.
Make your calling and election
precious
sure.
Precious is the flow that
your choice. Your choice.
Makes me one has no other fount. I know nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Think. Never mind somebody else. Introspection. If I treat it God's service like I do my job, would he be pleased? If I was as committed to God as I am to my job, would he be pleased? Your job can never do what God has already done for you and what he is doing for us every day. Put God first, even if it means getting another job, because all the job is doing is giving you some money. God wants to give you eternity. Eternity. And your folks going to send you away from your job anyway once you reach a certain age. Don't tell God to wait. Don't put off God. How do you know? If you've heard the word of God, you've heard the truth of God, you know what's in the Bible, what's your hesitation? What's your reservation? God loves you. He wants you. You may not want him, but he wants you. And you're going to have to want him lovingly if you want to go to his heaven. One more stanza of the same song, and you may be seated.
For my pardon this I see now.